Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Luke chapter 16, I'm going to read a little bit this morning. We're going to title this message today, Lessons from the Rich Man and Lazarus. There's a lot of lessons in this particular text of Scripture. And as I'm reading the text, and I hope you're reading the text as I read along, I want you to focus on how many lessons that you can see in this particular text. So you think for yourself, you got a pen, write them down. Write down how many lessons you can see as I read this text. Jesus was addressing some Jews here in Luke chapter 16 with regard to riches. And he tells this story as a result. Most of the Jews of his day, a lot of the unbelieving Jews of his day, thought they were okay and saved just because they were children of Abraham. And they thought if he was rich, that was a picture or something that indicated that God approved of you. And God's blessing was upon you. And so you put both of those together, they thought you had a ticket to heaven. Well, this is one of the reasons for this particular verse of Scripture, passage of Scripture. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. There's a lot of great lessons in it. I want you to listen to them, and then we'll go on. Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day, lived comfortably every day, prospered every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, and he's full of sores. So not only was he a beggar, of course, the reason why they would beg is they never really had no social programs that would take care of someone that couldn't work back in this particular day. Sad. And many times, if you didn't have any family, you didn't have no means of taking care of yourself or had no one to take care of you and you couldn't work, then you had to beg. So this is the condition of this man by the name of Lazarus. The rich man's not named. Did you notice that? Doesn't tell you who he is. He fits the description of a lot of people today, but it doesn't tell you what his name is, but it names this man, Lazarus. And it says he had some type of disease about him. It said he was full of sores. So don't know what kind of disease he had. It just says he was sores all over him. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, it said in verse 20 that not only was he have sores all over him, but it said he was laid at the rich man's gate. You notice it says he was laid there. You know what that means? It means he couldn't walk. So on top of being poor and being a beggar and being sick and sickly and full of sores, he was a cripple too. So, boy, I tell you, folks, this man was in bad shape. Would y'all not agree? This Lazarus man was in bad shape. Verse 22, came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I think Abraham's bosom is the abode of where Abraham, of course, we know was already dead at this particular time, been dead for years. But I believe Abraham went to heaven. Abraham went to heaven, I believe. And I think that's another name for heaven is Abraham's bosom. I know there's a lot of people that think that Old Testament saints went to a holding cell until Jesus died. I don't think that's true. I think Old Testament saints' sins were remitted and they were taken to heaven. We all realize this morning Elijah went to heaven went to where? If he could take Elijah to heaven, he was a sinner too, was he not? Then he can take everyone else to heaven that's trusted in the coming sacrifice of Christ too. That's another sermon. That's all free. All right, let's move on. Abraham's bosom's heaven. Lazarus went to heaven, folks. He went to heaven not because he was poor, but to heaven because he trusted Christ. That's why he went. Now, how do you know he trusted Christ? Because he went to heaven. That's the only people to go. Let's read on. The rich man, it says, died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, which means that this rich man was a Jew. Okay, that's what it's there for. Have mercy upon me, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us is between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, This is the rich man in hell, and he requests that Lazarus would go be sent back from the dead to his father's house, because this rich man, verse 28 says, had five brothers. Five brothers. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. And in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the first lesson of this particular text is that the rich man in this text was Lazarus. That's what so many people many times miss. The man that was rich in this text was not the man that had all the material wealth. The rich man in the text was Lazarus. And of course, the reason why Lazarus was rich, first of all, he was rich because he had victory over death. You can't call anybody rich that doesn't have victory over death. Does everybody in the house agree with that? Do you want to know one thing that's sure today? If the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, one thing that's sure is every one of us here in this building this morning, every one of us is going to die. And you know something else that's true? I don't know when that is. I know when I was born, I have a tendency to forget that the older I get whenever I was born. But I don't know when I'm going to die. It may be this coming week. Does everybody understand that? We all realize that no one really ever knows. No one really ever knows. Doctors can guess dates and times, but really they don't. Nobody knows that day and the time but our Master. He's the only one that knows. That's why a person, the most important thing for a person is to have victory over death. Do you all agree with that? Man, you need riches. You need riches. But you need what is called, the book of Proverbs called durable riches. You know what durable riches is? That's riches that money cannot buy and death cannot take away. That's what durable riches are, and that's what true riches are. And I'm going to tell you something. Lazarus had those riches. He had victory over death. He had a home in heaven. Do you have a home in heaven this morning? Well, you know what? One of the greatest things I'm thankful for, I'm thankful I got a home in heaven. I don't know how you live a happy life without knowing that when you leave this one, you got a home in heaven. I mean, if you don't have a home in heaven, each tick of that clock just brings you closer to the grave and losing everything that you got. Whereas, if you got a home in heaven, each tick of the clock just brings you closer to your heavenly home. He had a home in heaven. He had victory over death. He had eternal life. He had eternal life. He had redemption from destruction. Did you notice that there? The other man went to destruction. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, who redeemeth my life from destruction. If it hadn't been for God and the grace of God, folks, I was on a road that was leading me to the same place that this rich man went through. But I've been redeemed from that. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin. Folks, the rich people in this world, let me tell you now, the rich people in this world are those that have eternal life, those that have victory over the grave, those that have a home in heaven, those that have redemption from their sins, those that have been set free from bondage, those that have been forgiven of all their sins. That's the rich people. The rich people in this world are the children of the King. We sing this song sometimes here at the church, I'm a child of the King. Would y'all not agree with me? Man, I don't tell people I'm poor. I'm rich. Lazarus, in this particular text of Scripture, was rich because he had these great spiritual blessings that you can't buy with money and death cannot take away. Isn't that awesome? The rich man in the text was Lazarus. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 2 Corinthians 6:10, I'm not going to turn there, you can look it up. He said he was poor. Now, Paul was poor. He didn't have a lot of money. He was a tent maker. He just built enough tents to support himself as he went out telling folks about Christ. One of the greatest preachers that ever walked this planet. He said he was poor, but listen to the statement he made. Yet, he made many. How was that? He knowed the message. Paul knowed the message that if a sinner receives by the grace of God, will give them eternal life, forgiveness of sins, victory over the grave, and all those great blessings that I just talked about. You know what that message is? It's called the gospel. The message that Christ died for sinners and rose again the third day. By receiving that message is how a sinner receives those great spiritual benefits that I just described. You can be a poor man and share the message of Christ with someone, and they receive that message, they become what? Rich. Rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, talking about Christ, it says that He became poor. Jesus is in heaven, yet for our sakes He became poor. He took a body of flesh. That we, through His poverty, might be... He made me rich the day that He saved me. Turn the book of Proverbs with me. I want to show you a couple of things that goes with this. I want you to look at these, and then we'll move on. Lesson number one this morning is the rich man in this text was Lazarus because he possessed those great spiritual benefits that belongs to those that trust the gospel. If you're here today and born again, if you're here today and saved, you are rich. You are rich. You might not have a big home. You might not have a home on this earth. You might not have a big bank account. You might not drive a big car. My friends, you're rich. You can't call anyone rich that don't have victory over death. You can't call anyone rich that is not prepared for eternity. You can't call anyone rich that doesn't have eternal life. Can't do that. That's wrong to do so. That's the poor people. They might have a lot of material things, but they're really not rich. Proverbs chapter 11. Show you just a few things if I wrote the right text down here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Notice how these Proverbs are illustrated by this particular story. Notice what it says. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Do you see that in Luke 16? Riches profit not. I mean, that man was clothed in purple and fine linen, had probably a nice house, big bank account, prospered every day while he was here on this earth. But it says whenever he died, you know, the Bible says it is given to man once to die, then what? Judgment. All the money he had on earth mattered nothing after he died. Does everybody see that? It was meaningless to him because riches don't profit you after you die. They stay behind. You leave them here. There's no profit of riches in the day of wrath. Number two, look at chapter 13. Now, there's a good illustration. Mark this verse of Scripture down too. We're my Sunday school class, we're reading through Proverbs every day. Today, I believe, is the third. Is that right? We're reading chapter 3. Tomorrow is the fourth, chapter 4. We're going to constantly read through Proverbs. You want to do that with us? Do so. Mark down, it'll make you wise. Listen this wisdom, Proverbs 13:7. There is he that makes himself rich, yet hath nothing. Is that illustrated in Luke 16? That man was rich, but you know, folks, he really had nothing. When he died bankrupt, lost and undone, going out into an eternity which he was unprepared for. He was rich materially, earthly, temporarily, but he really had nothing. Lazarus was rich eternally. If this happened 2,000 years ago in Luke chapter 16, for 2,000 years now, Lazarus has been with the Lord. And for 2,000 years now, that rich man who never knew Christ, whose riches was what consumed his life, has been in hell. Which one was rich? Which one would you like to be like? There is he that makes himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is he that makes himself poor, yet hath great riches. There's been, especially back in the Dark Ages and when Christians was really persecuted, and then you can read about it in the book of Hebrews, when a lot of our forefathers, the saints of God, went through tremendous persecution whenever they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes if you owned a business, they took it from you. They come in and disrupt your business. And sometimes you'll read in the book of Hebrews, they even went in and spoiled their goods. You know what that means? They took the things that they owned. There are sometimes people that made the decision. They said, you know, they trusted Christ as their Savior. And they knew when they did that, that it was going to cost them all their material wealth whenever they did that. They made themselves poor. That's what it says. They made themselves poor, yet they had great riches. They lost all these material things, but they looked past this earth to an eternity out there. They were really rich. You know, Moses made a goofy decision, didn't he? Y'all agree? No, Moses didn't make a goofy decision. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have possibly been the next king over all of Egypt. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when he come to age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made himself poor. Moses is rich too. You can return to the book of Matthew chapter 18, 1,000 years after he died. And Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was two heavenly visitors visited him that day. You remember, one of them was Elijah, and one of them was? He was rich. There is he that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Look at Psalm chapter 49. Let's turn there. Verse 16 says, "Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he shall what? He'll carry nothing away." Everybody see that? That's Psalms 49 and verse 17. "And his glory shall not descend after him either." Now, they'll take nothing with you. Your material things, if that's all you got, when you die, you go out bankrupt having lost everything. Don't carry it with you. Don't profit you. You'll look on up in the text. Verse 6, "They that trust them in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever." You know, riches can't buy you from your sin. Riches cannot buy you from your sin. On the day when your time comes, riches can't keep you from dying either. So they're unprofitable. Indeed, the rich man in this text was who? Lazarus. That's why this story is here, so you'll know that. And if you're here today and born again, you might not have a lot of money, but you're rich if you know Christ. All God's people say it. Lesson number 2, turn back to Luke chapter 16. That was the first lesson. Let me give you lesson number 2. Lesson number 2 is, you don't only live once. How many times do you hear people say that? That was made popular by a beer commercial back in the 70s. You only live once. Might as well go for all the gusto you can get. I grew up in that age. Be out partying and carrying on. Hey, buddy, you only live once. You don't only live once. That's a lie right out of hell. You don't only live once. Look at the text in Luke chapter 16. You can see that crystal clear. There was an eternity out there awaiting both of these men. Does everybody see that? Both these men, when they left this life, went into eternity. Every one of us here this morning, folks, every one of us has an eternity out there awaiting us. Do you agree? Every one of us does. You don't only live once. The moment they died, both of these men were in eternity. Both of them was. There's two futures revealed in this text. Two futures. And I'm going to tell you something truthfully this morning, and you need to know it. Some of you is going to have the future that Lazarus had and the eternity that Lazarus had. And sad to say, probably some of you will have the future that the rich man has. If you would die today, if your time would be today, where would you spend your eternity? What would be your future? What would be your eternity? You know, one of the things the devil likes to do to people is get them what I like to call spiritually nearsighted. All they can see is this present world. That's all they see, and that's all they care about, and that's all that they live for. And then the day of their death comes and they go out into eternity unprepared. Have you ever wondered why the book of Proverbs says, "Labor not to be rich"? That almost sounds un-American, doesn't it? You know why it says labor not to be rich? Because there's so many people today in our land that's so consumed with the God of get that they haven't got no time for the spiritual things of the Lord. They don't even consider them. They're like the rich fool in the book of Luke chapter 12. They're living their entire life for that one big harvest so that they can lay back and retire and just enjoy life. The rich man of Luke 12 got his big harvest. His ship one day did come in to where he could just sit back and enjoy life. Isn't that not the American dream? Is that not what we convey to kids many times? But the problem is, the day that his ship come in was the same day that he died. And God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night you shall die. Then who shall those things be which you have provided?" You don't only live once. You have an eternity out there. And it's too late to prepare for it after that you're gone. Behold what it means to die in your sin. You've heard me say that how many years from this pulpit that the worst thing that could ever happen to you would be for you to die in your sin. There's nothing any worse than that. That's the worst thing that could ever happen. Because if you die in your sin, then you begin to pay the moment that you die. Gospel of John chapter 8, I want you to listen to a text. You can turn there with me if you'd like. It's not far off. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Listen to this. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Listen to this clearly this morning now. Listen to the Word of God. "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am He," what's it say? "You'll die in your sins." And in Luke 16, you have an illustration of what it means to die in your sins. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." You know, this is Luke 16 is what condemnation is, being condemned to hell. That's the idea of it. Romans 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. That's what it means to die in your sin. Behold what Matthew 16:26 means. What does it profit if a man gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? Years ago, I've told you this before, I've told it to you again. I was working on a job, and we come in from the job, was washing up, had one of them big old washer things. They had coal dust all over us, had to wash all the coal dust off of us. And this guy was the same age I was, except he had a full-time job and I had a temporary job. And he was telling me all his life was all planned out. "I'm going to work till I get this old, and when I get this old, I'll have this much. And then once I get this much, I'm going to do this." And he had his whole life planned out. Then what? Then what? Then what are you going to do? You got that retirement by the lake? Then what? You know what the then what is? And one day you're going to die. And you're going to be in eternity. Then what? Then what? Shame so many people out there in our land that's built a life around that. But that's not what bothers me most. It's people that make professions of faith in Jesus Christ and then live their whole life for the world. Having drunk from the fountains of living water, go to the world to find joy and satisfaction and peace. You won't find it there if you know Christ. There's nothing any more important, and I don't get any more enjoyment. The most enjoyment I get is a life serving Jesus Christ and being close to Him. Do you agree? And if we tell the unsaved of the world, "Man, you live for the world. True riches is knowing Christ." And then they look at your life and they don't see you practice that. You don't ever talk about Christ or don't ever serve Christ. It just contradicts what you say. You don't only live once. Answer the question, what does it profit to gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? I was with a student boy one time when I worked back at M&W. And he said, "Aw." I know he's going to smart off when he went, "Aw." You might be wrong, Jeff. You might be so wrong. That book you're thrusting in must might not be true. I said, "All right, it ain't true. It's not true." I said, "Let's say that I'm right. Let's say that I'm wrong, and what I'm telling you is not true." I said, "I'm a lot happier today than I've ever been in my life. I got more contentment today than I ever have. I have peace today. I didn't have all that back when I was living for the world. So if it's all a lie and I die and it's not there, what have I lost?" We said, "I don't guess you've lost anything." I said, "Son, if it's true, what have you lost? He said, I guess I lost everything. I had someone come to me later, years later, told me that boy had been saved, and said that question tormented his mind. I was glad. Lesson number two is you don't only live once. Lesson number three is once you die, that state is fixed. Did you notice in the text as we studied it, the Lazarus couldn't pass over to him and he couldn't pass over to Lazarus? Did everybody see that? His state was fixed. It's given to man once to die, then after this the judgment. You'll notice he wanted Lazarus to sent back from the dead, didn't he? He knew he couldn't go back. His state was fixed. Folks, after someone is dead, it is eternally too late. Do you agree? You can't pray for someone to be saved after they're dead. You can't do it. It's done. You can't burn enough candles to get them out of where they're at. Or you can't say enough prayers to get them out of where they're at. There's no such thing as a purgatory. That's a man-ordained doctrine right out of hell, because Satan wants you to think there's a chance after you're gone. There's none. There's people that's got rich off that, pay enough money, and we'll pray them right out of there. Their state is fixed. It's fixed. There's no passing from one to the other. Do you believe that this morning? You don't know when you're going to die, do you? And if it's fixed, once you're gone. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. Well, I'm going to make a decision one of these days. You just did. You just made it. You know what it is? No. Because if you die today, there's no way. I'm going to, I was going to make a decision later. You died lost. You died in your sin. It's fixed once you're gone. It's fixed once you're gone. A lot of the people that I witnessed to over the years, especially people that I used to work with, would... one of these days. You ever talk to the one of these days people? Oh, I know it's true. I believe it. Dead in trespasses and sins, folks. I know it's all true. And one of these days, not now, but one of these days. Isn't that a foolish thing? If a person could die physically at any time, if you had a terminal illness and you could die within the next hour, and I walked in with a cure for what you had that could make you better, make you whole, and I set that cure down on your table, and I'd come back 30 minutes later, and it was still sitting on the table, and I'd say, hey, there's the cure. Haven't you took it? Well, I'm going to wait to about 5 minutes before it happens. You'd say that person was a fool, wouldn't you? I'm not talking about your physical life. I'm talking about eternity. Take the medicine. Take the medicine, but trust in the Messiah as your Savior.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.